Hey, this is Scott.
This is Pat.
We got a great program lined up on Money Matters today. We're going to talk about, this may not sound that exciting, but look, there's been some changes in productivity as a nation, what that might mean to your retirement and your investments. But we also have a great guest.
Larry Jacobson, the retirement transition coach. This guy's kind of a kick. You're going to love his story about selling a company, sailing around the world, and then getting back into the game.
Yep, stick around.
Answering your top financial questions for the past 20 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Glad you are here with us, taking some time out of your life to be with us. And we are glad you're here, both myself and my co-host. We are financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself and come here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air. And so we know some of you are listening via the radio program on KGO or KOA or KFK, and many of you are also listening to this podcast, who knows what time, and actually when we record, sometimes other areas as well. So and glad you are part of the program. And we got a good show. We're going to have some fun.
Yeah, we think so. We think so.
I think we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, actually,
and I've got some.
What? You got what?
I don't know.
You can say
you know, it's funny. My list of topics I'm going to start out with are all kind of depressing.
Well, let's just get right in.
But here's the thing. You know, it's an interesting time we're in right now. Extremely low rates, which means there's a lot of risk in bonds.
Yes.
We've had the S&P 500, you look at companies' earnings, are they growing? No. They're shrinking. The last four quarters, we've had declining earnings of the overall S&P 500. So we've got earnings are slumping, but yet stock prices remain relatively high.
And why? Lack of alternatives.
But that's the part that makes me uncomfortable.
That is correct.
Another study I just saw a while back, productivity. You realize, so here's, economic growth is going to come from two main areas, by and large. Productivity increases and the labor force. You grow the labor force, you grow productivity, GDP is going to grow.
If GDP grows, normally companies, stock prices,
it's all gonna
over
be,
time.
It'll all be good for everybody. Frankly, I mean, the challenge that our economy has been in is we've had such anemic growth, not just since the recession, but before the recession, we've had just low growth. And so we look at productivity. We've got the longest slide in worker productivity since the late 1970s.
And productivity is measured by the output per employee hour.
That's right.
Essentially.
It's the goods and service produced each hour by American workers. It decreased 0.5% as an annual rate during the second quarter.
That's significant.
Yeah. Hours worked increased faster than output.
Third quarter in a row of falling productivity.
Yeah.
We haven't seen this in 35, 36 years.
I mean, it's really kind of bizarre that, I mean, I can see why increased regulation in every industry.
And companies not investing in capital
That's right.
infrastructure like they once were because they're, quite frankly, companies are a little bit afraid.
And it's interesting. You look at the I was kind of thinking about from a technological standpoint. We had huge leaps, huge strides in technology of what it did for productivity at the workplace years ago. Right? When the computer first had the punch cards and all that, that was dramatic increase in productivity. Then we went to mainframes. Then we had PCs. We all started. I mean, just think.
Each subsequent layer of technology adds less and less productivity gains.
Well, we haven't had any huge game changer in a number of years for productivity.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what will drive productivity. I hate to say it, is increased minimum wage.
Why do you say that?
Because it will. Maybe it won't. What it will do is it will drive
where are you going with this?
It will drive the productivity of each individual worker still in the workforce.
Still in the workforce. You mean because they're not going?
Because companies will get rid of people because they can replace them at some price point with
technology.
Technology.
Yeah, where most of us is replaceable at a certain level from a technological standpoint.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a. I saw it just in a. So I just think, look, it's a time for us as investors. We all need to be careful and not look for the magic potion, the silver bullet. It does not exist. And when we look at flows, one of the things we can look at is we can see where money is flowing, which mutual funds, which ETFs, where are investors pouring their money into?
And where are they coming out of?
And invariably, investors put their money in places at the wrong times, and we see money going into things that people think are going to be relatively safe, higher dividend paying stocks. You look what happened to some of these master limited partnerships.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm telling you what, you just go back 3 years ago and look at where some of the publications were saying where the hot places for yields are. Master limited partnerships.
Real estate investments.
We never recommended a master limited partnership. For by and large, they've done absolutely disastrous for a lot of their investors.
All sorts of tax complications.
There are all these, a lot of them tied into with oil. Lots of tax complications, particularly in IRAs.
Lots and lots of
tax. But they were the hot thing at the time, right?
Yeah, the MLPs.
These non-traded REITs, you ever see one of the guy who used to be the real estate, the non-traded REIT king, his empire has crashed. I just saw a couple weeks ago they're merging.
Nicholas Scorch?
Merging a couple things.
Oh,
Scorched.
Yeah, and unfortunately for the shareholders, they said that it probably won't be good for this merger of the two companies together. Won't be good for the shareholders, but will most certainly be good for the management.
But so the point is, it's just we just need to be careful in this environment, not to chase yield. Will we get out of this? Yes. Look, this country's been around a long time. We've gone through lots of different periods. This is a period in time. The kind of planning we do with people is. We need to think about long term, right? We need to not just worry about 2016, but we need to worry about the next 5 years, 10 years, really the rest of your life. That's the right kind of planning. But with that, we also need to pay attention to the season of today. And it's just a time where I think it's as important to focus on what risk we are taking in a portfolio as it is to say where we're going to try to shoot for high returns.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's why we run stress tests on our portfolios so we can have a better understanding of how a particular portfolio may perform, not only in an up market, but in a down market. We stress test the portfolios. Everyone comes into our office. They bring in, most people that come in, will bring in an existing portfolio, and we will stress test that portfolio for them. What's the stress test do? We have 24 different factors that we can test a portfolio against based on historical evidence of how it performed in any particular market. And the idea behind this is, what is the cost of the portfolio? I was talking to someone the other day and they said, well, what does it cost? I said, what does what cost? Well, what does it cost to manage the money? Well, there's two costs in every portfolio. And we talk about risk. There's two costs.
There's management fees, obviously.
There's management fees and costs associated with managing the dollars. These mutual funds, we get paid something. But the biggest cost is the cost of risk. Are you being adequately compensated for the risk that you're taking in your portfolio? And people don't pay attention to risk until it happens.
And all of a sudden they think, wow, how did this thing fall so far?
You should worry about risk before it happens. That's when you worry about risk. That's when you worry. The reality is the people that did the best investing since 2009 were the ones that actually managed through it, were maybe a little bit more conservative going into the down market.
That's right.
And got more aggressive
at the
bottom.
You look now, Pat, of these long-term bonds. Was it Mexico that had a 50-year bond? I was scratching my head. Like, who
buys that?
Somebody's obviously investing in them, right?
Who's buying that?
Who's buying these long-term government bonds?
Who's buying the 30-year mortgages that are sub 2.5? Your 3% of your borrowing the money. That's not what
that's
not what the person lending the money's going to get.
By the way, great time to get a mortgage.
Oh,
Great time to refinance into a long-term mortgage.
I can't believe we're having this conversation again. We've been having it.
But to your point, who's investing on the other end? I tell, because when interest rates rise, I don't know where they're going to rise, obviously. When they rise, we can see dramatic declines in these things.
Yeah.
And it's important to know where you're standing right now. Now, we don't hate to, we'll start off the show being a little pessimistic on something, but the reality is this. We're in a time, low productivity. We've got corporate earnings, for the most part,
anemic backwards. Or down. So what we're seeing is buybacks of shares because companies are sitting on lots of capital.
And instead of investing them,
they're not putting more money into plants. And
which all that does is saying instead of slicing that pizza into 12, slice it into 8.
Yeah, so it looks, right?
Not really doing
it. But you're not growing the size of the company. You're just shrinking the size of the shareholders, which actually drives up the price and the earnings per share.
Well, in theory, it shouldn't drive up the price.
But it does.
I know, but the company's got $2 billion sitting in the bank and they choose to take $1 billion of it for share buyback. They only have $1 billion in the bank now. So
it shouldn't matter.
In theory, it should make no difference.
But the reality of it is oftentimes it drives that price forward. Yeah. Often, not always, but often.
So it's just a tough time. And it is the time, particularly if you are nearing retirement or in retirement, that you to be focused on what's the downside as much as focusing on what's and, the upside. And we're not trying to be fearful. It's not like we're out there trying to sell you.
We're a little afraid. We can't pretend that we're not a little bit afraid.
Right. Yeah.
You can't. There's no way. That's
to say I have no fear of the economic future would be.
There is. Right. We are less optimistic in the outlook than we've been in a long time.
Well, it's because of our...
Three years. Less optimistic.
No, I'm less optimistic since the financial crisis.
Yes. Yes.
And became optimistic during the financial crisis because...
There was some great buying opportunities, which we were able to exploit.
So it's a good time for you to assess where you're at. Look at how much risk that you're taking in your portfolio. Really, now's the time to do it. Visit with your financial advisor. Visit with a Hanson McLean advisor. If you don't have one, we'd love to help you. But it's just really, it's the time to do that. So we're going to take a quick break. If you'd like to join the program, got a question for us. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number to join the program. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. And you're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
All righty, welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean. We occasionally have guests on this show. And we have different types of guests. We have guests that are practitioners in their field. We've had estate planning attorneys and we've had accountants and that sort of ilk. And then we have other people on the show that are just, they have great life stories in sort of a retirement transition. So as much as I love settling into a great conversation with an estate planning attorney or an accountant, and who doesn't, really?
Let's talk taxes.
I married an accountant. It's been awesome. She writes all the checks, balances the checkbook. It's been, and she's a lovely.
Yeah, but I remember Pat,
and she's a lovely
funny
lady.
Story. Years ago, his wife took his ATM card away. Four kids, all within 5 years, something like that, right? So she was home taking care of the kids, left her career, and dealing all the family bills. Pat's out working, trying to make things happen. And you had your ATM card taken away because you weren't telling her when you were taking the cash.
Sometimes I would take money out of the ATM, I would forget to tell my wife. And so one day she said, can I see your ATM card? And then she just took it. She said, you don't get this back because you don't follow the process. So anyway, over about 2 years later, I just went to the bank and got my own.
Funny. You got to the bank without her. Actually, I know this guy, he's a marriage family therapist, and his wife was always controlling the money. So he would, instead of being direct deposit, his paycheck, he would he would have it, take it to the bank, and always take a cash withdrawal, cash out first. So if the check was $2,000 or whatever, he'd take $100 out, so it looked like $1,900 was the bottom.
So the marriage family counselor.
That's right. Marriage family therapist. Anyway, is that irony?
That is funny.
I know, it is funny. That's why I mentioned it. I thought it was funny.
We all know that the basis for a great relationship is lack of communication.
Absolutely. And you got to put a little something on the side.
Oh, you know.
Of course, it's always the best thing.
Anyway, so back to our guest. Today we have Larry Jacobson. He is a retirement transition coach, and which is one thing, which is great. But how he came to be a retirement transition coach is really what interested us in talking to Larry.
So, Larry, welcome to Hanson McLean.
Hello, Pat and Scott. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. We're glad you are here.
So, Larry, give us a little background. How old are you? How did you get into this line of work? When did you retire, or did you ever retire? Where do you live? What do you do? Give us the whole rundown.
Oh, my God.
Do you have an ATM account?
Okay. So, well, I'm a retirement, non-financial retirement coach.
Okay.
So you guys handle all the money. You tell people about how they should plan for the retirement. They've got to have enough money, and you do the counseling, and you do a great job at all that. The reality is that a lot of those people then end up with a plan, right? They have a plan for
what financial plan.
A financial plan. But 75% of people out there who have a financial plan don't have a plan for their time.
I'm with you.
In fact, the bold heading on my website says, your money has a plan, what about your time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am absolutely with you. So how did you get here? You retired at some point in time, and that's the...
So I worked very hard, and I retired at age 46.
Wow. Way too early.
Sold the company. And so that's why I use the term redefining retirement. I didn't really retire. What I did is I thought I was retiring. I sold my company, had just enough money to tease myself into thinking I could afford a boat and I could go away for a few years. And I ended up buying a sailboat and spent the next 6 years sailing all the way around the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. By yourself?
No. With my then partner at the time, and then we took other crew members with us across the oceans.
Wow!
Oh, great!
And it took 6 years, and if you ask someone how much does it cost to sail around the world, everything you have.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Did you have a cat that lived on your boat with you?
No what? Cat.
I see these people sailing all over the world. They always have a cat. Yeah. I always thought it was strange. Yeah, anyway, off the subject.
They also have hair growing out of their ears and nostrils, too, these people.
So you do this for 6 years. You're done with that. What happens?
Came home broke, but very satisfied because I had achieved my dream that I'd had since I was 13 years old.
And you're now 50. So you're 52.
Cool.
You finished this thing up. You said, check that bucket
list.
What
am I going to do?
Okay.
Yes. So what am I going to do? So I decided that I was going to become a writer. So I wrote a book about it. And the book is called, here comes the plug, The Boy Behind the Gate. And it's won 6 literary awards.
Wow.
And it's very successful.
Congrats.
And it's a story. Thank you. It's the story of the sailing trip around the world and what kind of goes on in my head and the changes that I go through. And then I went on the speaking circuit. And I started speaking and I realized that while... That helped that I achieved my own personal achievement. The actual satisfaction that I was getting was from inspiring other people to achieve their dreams.
Yep. You get more, oftentimes you get more from giving than anything else.
It sounds cliche, but it's true. And so I started coaching executives, CEOs, entrepreneurs. And
coaching them on what? How do we take 6 years off and sail around the world and not have your company go broke? Or?
No. And actually, most executives, when they're asking for coaching, don't necessarily want to know how to run their company. They want to know how to manage people. They want to know how to get over their own fears and their own decision-making issues and things like that.
Yeah.
And so they all were asking me the same question. What am I going to do when I retire? I'm a CEO. This is all I know how to do.
Yeah,
what do I do next?
You have prestige and power at work, and you go home, and you are not appreciated for the work that you bring
to
the
team. Your ATM card gets taken away from you.
You are just another...
You are nobody.
You're just another cog in the wheel.
Come on. Yeah,
and so it's absolutely true. I realized, hey, wait a minute. If everybody's asking me the same question, there must be something to this. Well, it turns out there are 10,000 new retirees every single day in this country alone, and there will be for the next 15 years. I'm sure you've thrown that statistic around. And a lot of the people have the money to retire, or they have enough to retire. They're not going to be not going to be starving. But the question is, what do they do with their time? And so what I do is I help people make a plan for what to do with their time, whether it be a day plan, a week plan, a month plan, a year plan, or a life plan. So we redefine the retirement so that they're continually doing something. Because the issue is that today, the baby boomer generation, I'm a baby boomer, we are living 10 to 30 years longer than our parents did.
And Larry, how old are you now?
61.
Okay. So you've been doing this for almost 10 years.
Yeah. And I love it. What I'm discovering is that people didn't expect this. I didn't expect it. First of all, I didn't expect to make it home from sailing around the world, but that's another story. But people didn't necessarily expect that there, and I'm sure you find this, they didn't expect they were going to need their money to last so long.
Yeah. Well, and we see some people that do retirement very, very well and others that don't. And we're not talking about just the financial aspect. Yeah. I cannot tell you how many clients I have suggested that they go back to work because you see them doing it wrong. And sometimes they have to take two or three swings at it.
That's right. That's right. And so what I try to do is save them the time and the money and the energy by planning in advance. Or what I find is, go ahead, retire. And some people will say, I'll be fine. I'm just going to explore around a little bit. You go right ahead. Call me in 6 months. And in about 6 months to a year, they're like, oh, boy, I don't know what I'm doing with myself.
How common do you think that is? I mean, one out of three? Well, one out of two? 100% of us? I mean...
Well, three out of four don't have a plan, but I would say that about 50%, 100% of my clients are in this situation.
Yes, that's why they're seeing you, right?
Yeah, right.
It's like you talked to an oncologist. We all got cancer, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. But the problem is that, it's easy to go into depression. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it sounds like you love your work. You love what you do. You are interested in what you do, and it keeps you driving. So if you were head of a company or a big shot or something, or middle management, where you felt important, and then all of a sudden you had nothing to do, you have a 40% higher chance of falling into clinical depression when you retire.
That is true.
Than when you're not retired.
Yes, and which leads oftentimes to alcoholism.
Alcoholism and drugs, absolutely, because the baby boomer generation is the first generation to look at drugs as a possible answer to issues. You have a 56% higher chance of having a stroke without having your purpose in life. These are all
56%
statistics.
Higher chance.
Of having a stroke if you cannot state what your purpose in life is after you retire.
Really?
You will the retirees watch an average of 4.5 hours of television per day.
Yeah.
That's 205 8-hour days, or 56% of someone's potential productivity time. That's crazy. I didn't know that there was that much good TV on. The number one concern of all of these people who are retiring is their loss of identity. Who am I? What am I going to do? And that was my issue as well. I went from CEO to sailing bum.
Yeah. And now what? And then you just accomplish your lifetime dream and you're still young and healthy.
So, Larry, Larry, speaking of lifetime dreams, we have a dream to keep the lights on. So we're going to go to a break. We're going to hold you through because we want to continue this conversation. I find it absolutely...
Larry Jacobson, retirement transition coach here at Hanson McLean. Stick around for more.
Are you questioning if the advice you receive from your stockbroker or financial advisor is best for you? If so, run it by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Hey, if you're listening to our show on podcast and you'd like to be a caller into the show, don't hesitate to give us a call.
That's
at 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. You got it.
Yeah, we'll take your call. We record sometimes during the week, so we'd love to take your call.
Get a podcast of Hanson McLean's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
I forgot to turn my mic on. Scott Hanson, Pat McLean. It's only been doing this 20-some-odd years.
Yeah. Some of us are slow learners.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so we've got Larry Jacobson is joining us. And Larry, if you're just tuning in, join us for the last segment here. He's a retirement transition coach. He retired at age 46.
Well, he went through a life change at 46, all right, where he sold his company, sailed around the world for 6 years, came back, wrote a book, and then opened a company called Retirement Transition Coach. But his Bowie Coaching.
Bowie Coaching.
Bowie Coaching. B-U-O-Y. Coaching.
Like the boat.
Like the boat.
Like, right. Follow the buoys. They will guide you.
Oh. Oh. Makes sense.
That's like, oh, God. There's no buoy in the middle of the sea.
The green and the red thing. How to go in and out of port.
The green and the red thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
The green and the red, which changes, you know, depending upon what continent you're on.
Well, I believe
right?
I am not going to go any continent hopping in any boat anytime
soon. So if you're in a different continent, you need to have your lights switched on your boat for the green and the red?
No, you don't switch the lights, but the buoys are on the opposite side.
Oh. All right, well, that's another show.
That'd be for another time.
Yeah. We're thinking of putting together a podcast about sailing.
Oh, yes,
yeah. Right.
Sure you are.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the last thing I know.
So on your website, you talk about the three elements of a successful retirement.
I do.
Something along those lines, do you not?
Five. So first,
I have a short attention span.
Pat got the first three. Pat figured he was screwed after the first three.
Same as my
Better keep working.
Same as my.
The way you guys talk about money, you know, you say $1 billion here, $1 billion there. Pretty soon you're talking real money.
That's right. No kidding. So you have five elements to a successful.
And that's in an ebook, and it's available free to your listeners.
Oh, perfect. Okay, and then go to buoycoaching.com. So can you list those? Bring me through the five elements.
Okay. So
and you're not going to be like Stephen Covey and come out with the seven habits and then come out with a book called The Eighth Habit.
The Eighth Habit.
The sixth element.
Right.
I just discovered.
Look, at this rate, we'll be lucky to get through the first
okay.
one. But anyway, purpose.
Okay.
Purpose. Having purpose. You and some of your listeners may remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That you know, in order for you to progress in your achievement of satisfaction in life, first you need food and air and water, and you move all the way on up to self-actualization.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know where you feel more than self-esteem and achievement. Purpose, like feeling that you are important. Which I think people do not recognize how much purpose they get out of their career.
That's right.
Regardless of what it is.
Correct.
You know, I think part of it, interesting, Larry, because I think part of it is when we're in our career, we are serving others. We are needed. We're providing value. Yes. We're serving. And for a lot of us, that's where we get a lot of purpose out of that. And when we go to, suddenly we have enough money in the bank, or we got a nice pension, we don't need to work anymore, we're getting older, maybe our job doesn't want us anymore, and now we're at this time where, well, now what? So
what
happens at that point, I think, is that a lot of people start confusing things. So they say, okay, well, I'm just going to golf all day long, or I'm going to go travel, or
sail around the world.
Yeah, okay. Well, the question is, those are pleasures. Those are multiple pleasures that we provide for ourselves, and they make us feel good. But they're not to be mistaken for fulfillment and purpose in life.
Good point. Good point. Excellent.
You can read my article on PBS about that.
Okay. And what's the second element?
Feeling valued. When you go to work, you, or even if you don't go to work, but somehow in your life, you feel valued.
By others.
Perhaps it's you feel valued by others. Yeah. I mean, you perhaps, you know, you could go from being the CEO of a company who knows everything about these widgets and the way to go to market with widgets and do this and that and the other. As soon as you're no longer the CEO of that company and you call up and you say, everything okay? And they go, yeah, we're fine. And you go, oh, they don't need me.
Yes, they don't need me.
That's
anymore.
Hard.
What exactly? What happened?
What happened, right? I thought that I was irreplaceable. And then one day you realize, you've been replaced. The third element.
The third one I already gave you, which is mistaking short-term pleasures for fulfillment and purpose. And that's a big one because I get a lot of clients who are saying, you know what, I don't really want a plan. I just want to take it as it goes, and I think I'm going to go golfing. Well, here's what happens. They go golfing, and then they go get the new parts for the dishwasher. And then they, got to go pick up the kids.
Uh-huh.
And then got to babysit the grandkids, right? Which is really your kids' dream, not yours, possibly. Although there is some satisfaction, get some satisfaction from that. And before you know it, those little pleasures have taken up your entire day or your week or your month. And without a plan of something to do in a bigger picture, it's easy to just use up your time with it's like playing out the clock almost.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
That is. Yeah. Wow. It is so common with people at retirement.
And again, because we're living so much longer than previous generations, this is a period of our lives, these 10 to 30 years, that no other generation has ever had to deal with.
Well, and retirement is a relatively new concept in the history of man.
Of course.
It's such a new concept. People really don't have any idea about how to do it.
That's right. That's exactly right. And they really don't because it's never been an issue. The parents of baby boomers were expected to die within 5 years of retiring.
As soon as you retired,
the first thing was get out on that golf course and golf as much as you can because it's going to be over soon.
Yeah. So fourth
and
element.
Now, identifying your passion and pursuing it.
Like what gets you up out of what wakes you up in the morning? What excites you in the morning? That's the passion, right? What do I get up and say? I've got to do this today.
Yes,
the world depends on it.
When I was going for sailing around the world, everything I did mattered about toward my goal of sailing around the world, and that was all I could think about. Of course, then you have another issue, which is. You achieve your dream, you come home, and then what? So what do you do? You have to go through the same process again and redefine your next retirement.
How do people go through your next transition? How do people figure out this passion at this stage in their life?
That's easy. They hire me.
Okay.
Let me give your listeners another tool.
Okay.
Because I like giving tangible tools, and not everybody needs a coach. They can do this on their own. So, but a couple things. Like one is I have online courses that are online interactive video courses. They don't ever have to talk to a coach. They can handle it themselves. But in addition to that, on my website under resources, there's something called the Passion Quiz, and you just click it, and it downloads for free, and it asks you all kinds of questions about. Like to help you guide you to your passion.
Perfect.
And what you're looking for is you're looking for patterns in your answers. You're looking for, did I say anything twice or three times?
Wow.
And then if of course they want help interpreting that, that's fine. And there's something else on my website that I want to offer too, which is there's.
Larry, do you have a marketing background before you were sailing?
I do. How do you know that?
What kind of a company did you sell?
But that's not all. Act today.
Five clues. Yeah, I was founded and president CEO of World Class Incentives. We were incentive travel and conference planning business.
Okay. There you go. There you go. What's the fifth element before we run out, or I end up buying something really expensive from you?
Have a plan. The fifth one is have a plan.
You have to have
a
plan.
When I say have a plan, you have to have a plan. And the plan, and that's the goal that I take everybody through, is to get them a plan. Even the courses that are interactive and on their own, it all guides them towards creating a plan. And it takes you through all of the 9 modules that I believe, well, I know that I went through in my process of retiring and reinventing myself over and over again. It takes you through all of those steps, and then you end up with a plan. But I don't want to scare people by saying that you have to have a plan for the rest of your life. Just start with a plan for tomorrow.
Yep. And the plans aren't concrete. They're ideas that can change based upon feedback from implementing the plan. It's much like a financial
just
plan.
Like you,
it's the same
just
concept.
Like your financial plan.
It's the same concept.
Mean, you react to markets, and you change it. With, at least with a plan, you have something to change.
So, Larry, before we're almost out of time, so we're going to allow you to plug your company because we're afraid you didn't get enough of those in.
At buoycoaching.com.
Buoycoaching.com. It has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you, and we'd hope to have you on as a guest again. Would that be okay?
I would love it.
It probably depends on how many click-throughs he gets from
whether it's been worth your time.
I expect to be flooded by the
entire you won't know what to do. You're going to have your own new plan to how to handle all the leads that come in.
Crazy. Hey, so appreciate the call.
Yeah, we got to take we got to go to the commercial break here. We really appreciate the call here, Larry. This is Hanson McClain's Money Matters. We'll be right back.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Can't always catch Money Matters on the radio each week? Get a podcast of the show delivered to your device every week. Visit moneymatters.com.
Now back to
Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
I jumped the gun. What does that mean anyway, jump the gun?
It's when you're racing and they fire the thing and you jump the gun.
I asked Pat because Pat, you have a tendency to understand all these, what do they call those little?
Idioms.
Idioms, that's right.
Was
you study idioms.
I actually did. I Googled idioms not too long ago. And
what do you mean?
Idioms.
You Google it just out of curiosity?
But last night, I got to tell you.
That's you know that Pat had no plan or purpose when he's sitting around. I think I'll I'll Google idioms.
I was talking with a lawyer the other day, which is always a good time. And
that's when you start Googling idioms.
And then the term catch-22 came up, and I remember the book, but I couldn't. Anyway, I'm going to read it again.
What is the catch-22?
Is that you're wrong in either situation.
What's the 22? I understand.
That's what I didn't understand.
I understand what a catch-22 is.
I don't know enough to actually speak intelligently about that. I don't know if the book
you
was
Googled
the one
the
that,
idioms.
I did, but it didn't. I didn't.
All right. Never.
So we're a call-in talk show, and you could call in if you'd like.
Take your call.
It's 888-242-6766. That's 888-242-6766. Or you could go to our website, moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com, and get Scott's book. Is it still discounted? Is the book still discounted?
Yes, we got thumbs up.
Okay.
moneymatters.com/book.
How big
personal decision points.
And you go online.
It says how many good discount?
75%.
It's $5.
It's $5 for the book. If you go to moneymatters.com, we give you a code.
/book.
You go to Kindle. Boom. You put in the code.
Amazon.
I'm sorry. I read Amazon. I read off of Kindle. But you go to Amazon. You get the book. $5. And read the reviews on Amazon, Scott. They're quite good.
Yeah. If you read the book and you like it, are we allowed to?
Oh, no.
We're not allowed to encourage people to. I think we can. We just can't encourage them to like us.
No, we cannot. I don't know. So in our industry, we have compliance rules that govern what we can.
Like every industry has rules, and yeah. we've got certain ones.
Yeah.
We can't use client testimonials.
Which means we can't get a client on
to like us. I don't think we're supposed to. We can't even say like us on Facebook.
We can't. We're not allowed to say like us. If you go to Facebook, if you're going to do anything, don't like us. Okay. Don't like us on Facebook, however inclined you may be, because we are not allowed to encourage that behavior. There we go.
But I don't know if we should discourage that, though, either.
Okay.
Anyway,
so
we better go to the call.
888-2-HANSEN. That's 888-242-6766 if you'd like to be part of the show.
Let's talk with Dave. Dave, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
I'm a self-employed businessman and have been for 20 years. My company is doing well. I'm making pretty good money. My wife has a similar business. She's a franchisee in a franchise for babysitting. She's losing her tail. My company has to keep her going every month, paying some of the bills for her and that sort of thing. My question is, the IRS is killing me because my company's doing well. and I can't, I have to figure a way to write off the expenses that I pay for her onto my business. Is there some way that I can take profits against my company and then subtract her losses I'm paying for them?
How many years has she had losses in her business?
Oh, probably she's had that business 25 years, and she's probably been losing ever since the economy went down in 8, 9, and 10.
Okay.
So eight or 9 years.
Okay. So
has your CPA told you that's a hobby, and so we're not able to deduct it?
He's told me to close it down.
What is your business?
I'm a manufacturer's representative. I represent 14 different clients in the semiconductor and medical market, selling industrial products.
You're an independent multi-lines rep, right?
There you go. You got it.
Perfect.
So why haven't you closed the business?
Because she doesn't want to. She has 7 franchises from Long Beach up here to San Francisco. The people that her franchisees are nice people. She feels like they sort of depend on her to have some income, even though it's not much income. It's some. But she pays all the insurance and everything else.
How much do you lose on that each year? What's the loss?
Oh, probably $20,000 a year. Oh,
and you're making a decent income in your... why can't they be formed into a single business?
They can't, because they're too dissimilar. It would still be the same issue.
And why, and Scott, well, you would know better than I. Why can't he wash those losses against the gains?
It's the hobby rule.
But it's obviously not a hobby.
Well, that's what my question is to you. Because she made money for so many other years, are you able to take the loss?
Well, when we bought the franchise 25 years ago, we bought a single franchise, and then we bought the entire franchise. We had we had one unit, and we bought all of them and 7 of them. And initially, for the first 4 or 5 years, she was making money doing okay. It's just been since the downturn. Nobody wants a babysitter anymore.
But why isn't she taking the loss? That's what we don't understand. Yeah. It's not a hobby.
On the taxes,
so that you shouldn't be paying.
She does. I mean, she's showing the loss, but I'm the guy that's putting the bill out of my business. I'm trying to figure out a way to get it to write it off on my multi-line rep business.
Yeah, so that you're not going to be able to do that. So the issue is, so from an income tax standpoint, you're able to wash it out, but you still have FICA taxes that you're getting stuck with on your business.
Yeah, right. I'd still have to play with the rules as for the Fed and the state tax this year. That's exactly right.
And you're a sole proprietor, S Corp, LLC. What are
you? I'm a California C corporation.
Wait, slow down, slow, Dave. You're a C corporation,
not an S Corp.
I'm a C. No, I'm a C Corp.
Why?
And they're telling me I should become. Well, because when I started the business, I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
That's right. That's how most of us start businesses.
It was a small business. My accountant at the time said, go C Corporation. I did. Now my accountant's telling me I need to switch. In fact, we're planning to switch. I have a new accountant. We're planning to switch to an S Corporation at the end of this year. He says I have to wait till year end will convert it over. Then as of 2017, I'll be monitoring things.
Okay. And so what are your...
How new is this new accountant? How new do you...
Less than a year.
Okay. So I feel better about this conversation already because I didn't want to come straight out and say, you should shop for a new accountant. You figured that out yourself. And then when you threw that you were at a C corporation, we both scratched our head.
Particularly the kind of business you're in.
I scratched the hair on my head. Scott just scratched his head with this concept of why a C corporation. So you've got a good accountant now, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to take these losses against your income.
And then as far as the law, I mean, at some point in time, you got to go back to the other franchisees and change the
structure. Yeah.
Change the terms.
Yeah,
what I've told my wife is they have to start paying their fair share of insurance. She insures all franchises.
Well, it doesn't make sense. She can't operate at a loss forever. That's not fair to her either.
Yeah.
Nor do
or
you.
Me.
Yeah, and she works. I mean, she puts time and energy in this, and she's losing $20,000. And it's not, look, you're not seeing a way that you could make this better. You didn't say, okay, we're going to plan, we're going to get profitable in 2 years.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't be calling us asking how I could take the losses in the future.
That's
exactly.
So the reality is she needs to go back to them with a different model that says, look, here's the way it is. Stay or don't stay.
Yeah.
Because every one of those franchises she loses, the less money you lose.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
I could convince her to charge them maybe $100 a month or whatever for insurance. That would be a big step in the right direction from my standpoint.
And remember, you don't have to charge everyone the same, right? There might be some of those that are actually making money.
The franchise in San Diego does very well. They probably have 60 sitters, and they place them in homes and business corporation meetings on weekends and doctors' conventions, and they do very well.
If she was my business partner, I would sit down and look at the business rather than make a universal. And I'd say this franchisee needs to be treated like this. This one needs to be. But actually, that your accountant may be able to help walk her through that. That is what a good accountant, a good financial advisor that has any sort of business sense would do. But you have a relationship with the accountant. Say, look into this
and
business.
And it might need a third party to help.
Yeah, it can't
kind
be
of
you.
Mediator.
Well, because you've only been married to her forever, so you know nothing.
Yeah,
it needs to be a third party that comes in and says, what you need to do.
That has to be a lawyer because it brings up legal ramifications because we've had this thing so long and she's concerned. If she just tries to close it down, there could be some legal.
That's
a smokescreen.
Don't get too tied up in that. I wouldn't worry about that.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah. So go to your accountant with the problem and say, help us. Give us suggestions. Give us 12 things that we should do next year to make this thing profitable and see what the accountant says. So appreciate the call, Dave.
Good luck, Dave. And it's just kind of interesting how.
Most people's life and motivation isn't strictly money.
That's exactly what I was going to talk about here.
It's not strictly money.
Which
is good, because if it was strictly for money, it'd be a terrible world.
But on the other side of things, we got to make sure we're not a place where we're losing money from our labor. Anyway, that music means we're out of time. We're here every weekend to this same hour at the station. You could also get a podcast of us. Go to moneymatters.com or at iTunes. Look at Hanson McLean. We're out of time. We'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
Hey, if you're listening to our show on podcast and you'd like to be a caller into the show, don't hesitate to give us a call
at
888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. You got it.
Yeah, we'll take your call. We record sometimes during the week, so we'd love to take your call.